he comes forward, and the creative team.
I give the creative team a hand. Awesome job. Give yourself a hand. How you doing, church? Who's doing exceptional? Give me a wave. Who loves the word of God? Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray and just, why don't we commit this word? God, we thank you for your word. Your word is you. It's alive, and it has the power like nothing else on this earth to change us. And your word says whenever we release it, it never returns void. So God, this is not a waste of time sitting in this room. This is not a waste of our time. This is not a waste of our life. This is the greatest thing we could do with this moment that we've got, is to allow your word to penetrate our lives and have the intent that you purposed it to have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, I'm still on the same thing, because there's more. But wait, there's more. There's a set of steak knives. Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's what I'm believing from. And we've been tracking through that. And I still want to stay on the identity. Kind of feel there's some more work to do in your identity. Amen? And we podcast. So if you've missed some of these messages, jump on, you go to iTunes and type in Bay City Church and you'll find us. And that's right. And then you'll look in there and there's messages in there. And some of them were a little bit faint, some of the earlier ones. We've fixed all that and it's crystal clear now. Everyone say crystal clear. So you can jump on there and catch up and the messages are there. Fantastic. There we go. Let's move on. So the first thing we talked about was letting go. We talked about that from Isaiah. We talked about the need. And we covered, I think, one of the main theme of that topic was the word shame. That a lot of us feel and sense shame. And shame comes from the enemy. It's a counterfeit. Messes with your mind, and he loves to keep you in the shame of your past. But if you're in church right now, if you're thinking about God and instantly you start to feel ashamed of all these things that you've done in your life, then I can tell you that's not coming from God, it's coming from the enemy. So stop listening. Amen? We've got to realize that the enemy likes to bring condemnation into our lives. He loves to get us to identify with our past shame and leave us in that place. But God wants us to move on. Part two, going very quickly. We started to talk about that next part. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Talking about a new way of thinking. A new way of moving forward. We've got to actually, if we're going to let go of the shame of the past and let go of those voices that are in our heads, we've got to attach ourselves to a new voice. Amen? Attach ourselves to the voice of Christ. We've got to attach ourselves to something fresh, something new, something that's going to identify with who we are. And so we talked about that. We talked about, we read quite a bit and we looked at Colossians 3. And it said, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And the second thing it said is, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So we thought, we learn how to seek God and set our mind. You've got to reset your mind daily. That's why you read the Word of God. Set it every day. Set it onto Christ. So it drifts. His mind drifts. We live in a world that sort of isn't set on Christ. Amen? You wake up in the morning, do you walk into work and you hear the name Christ, but quite often it's not in the context of what you know. Quite often it's in the context of a swear word. And it's annoying that, you know, you hear the word Christ as a swear word. It's probably one of the most prolific swear words out there. Isn't it annoying? It's just, you know, I've heard just respectable announcers say it. It's almost like they use it instead of swearing. And it's like your swearing is worse than using the name of Christ. I think, gee, that just gets under my... Anyway, so you've got to set your mind. You've got to seek God in the morning and set your mind. And the Word of God, even in Joshua, it says to meditate. It says set it morning and set it night. We set so many things in our life, it'd be good just to get up and set our mind to Christ by reading His Word. Amen? We talked about that. We talked about how we need to get involved in that. And then we talked about part three last week. Shall you not know it? Your identity is the key. Your identity. We talked about the name. We talked about how names were important. This is not last week. It was a couple of weeks ago. We had an amazing service last week. That was a youth service. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about your name. Your name is important. The devil likes to call you by what you were known. He likes to call you by your past sin. He likes to call you by the labels. Maybe you had negative labels that were passed into your life by someone. And we talked about through the Bible the importance of a name and how literally when Jesus, one of his last prayers before he left earth as the Son of Man and the Son of God and went to the cross and he had this prayer with the Father, one of his report card things that he said to the Father, which we learned in this amazing passage. Let me just pick out what that is. It's right now, it's chapter 17 of John. And he literally said, Father, I taught them about your name. I made my disciples, I made them understand that your name is now their name and the name that we have over our lives, they have as well. It was important to Christ because it was important to God because how you're named is who you are. It's massively important to your identity. And so I want to continue with that this morning. So we're up to part four. Everyone say part four. Trying to keep you interactive. So I want to call this today, it's not in your nature. You write that on as a heading, it's not in your nature. I have a beautiful dog, Max. Just brings a smile to my face. Who likes dogs? Okay, yeah, there's some dog breeders in the house. Of course they like dogs. Who likes cats? I don't really want to know. Don't put your hand up. I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear about it. Doesn't even relate. But you know, I got to say that my dog has a beautiful nature. He's just a loving animal. Unfortunately, he finds his way into our hearts. And the last couple of nights, he's actually slept in our room. Because it's been wet outside, right? So it's like Marianne says, it's wet outside and he's going to get... And he looks at her with his big brown eyes. And so we've got like a little ensuite and he sleeps on the ensuite floor there. And I don't like it. You know, it's not a place for a dog, correct? Right. But he's got a beautiful nature. And we get told that we've got a nice nature. Who's been told they've got a nice nature as a person? I'm not referring that you're a dog. I'm jumping to another context. But who's been told that they've got a good nature? No one. Wow. Speaking to the right crowd. So, yeah. Oh, I think my kids have got beautiful natures. That's just me speaking as a dad. They got lovely natures. Annalise and my... Maddie? Second. Okay, I won't embarrass them. I'll leave it alone. See, before we became believers, before we accepted Christ, we were called sinners. And in fact, that was your nature. As nice as you think you are, your nature was sin. Hello? It was. So really, your title was a sinner. Your profession, if your name was a sinner, if your title was a sinner, then that realistically was your profession. That's who you were. And we were prone to sin. But this is the good news. When you become a believer, your title gets changed from sinner to the word saint. Now, let's not go down the St. George Road for a second. I know it's going to be hard for you, Trent, a few people in this room. So, apologize. We're not talking about football. But your actual name, your nature, you become a saint, not a sinner. Are you with me? You become a saint. You're known as a saint. And I love the way Paul greets. He greeted so many people. I'm finding it really hard to read this. Why is it so dark? Romans chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Let all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." Do you think that's an accident? Paul started, whenever he started a letter, he threw out the word. Quite often you'll find two words in all his greetings. The first one is saint and the second one is grace. He's trying to tell everyone that's a believer. He said that you are saints. Corinthians, it says, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Greetings, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." Paul went over the top to emphasize to the new believers that they were saints and not sinners. Are you hearing me? And when you look at that term saint, when you actually look at what it means, it actually is quite in your face. It means holy. It means holy. It means that we are holy before God. It says holy believer is the actual term of it. That's who we are. That's actually what our new nature is. Are you with me? But there's a lot of us in this place who have allowed themselves to be deceived into thinking that they are still sinners. That their mind is trapped on their old nature and not who they're known as now as believers. See, you can't be known as a sinner and a saint. The technicality is that you are now a saint if you are a believer. The devil will do everything he can to somehow deceive you that you're still a sinner. He'll do everything he can to mess with your mind, to keep connecting you to your past, keep connecting you to every wrong thing that you've done or that you are doing. He'll do everything he can to get you connected to that, to put in your mind the fact that you are a sinner and not a saint. See, the word sinner actually implies that we are prone to doing wrong. Amen? And the word saint actually is a word that is prone to doing right. And so here's the point I want to get across. If we believe that we are sinners, we'll sin by faith. True? Proverbs talks about in the Word of God. It says, for we know this, don't we? Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinks, he is. Correct? So if you live under this revelation and you're listening to voices in your head saying, you're a sinner, 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 then sin will become something that you actually work out, that you do. If I kept on telling you that you are hopeless, you're hopeless, you're hopeless, you're hopeless, you're hopeless, you're hopeless, after a while you start to believe it. And the enemy is doing everything he can to try and get you attached to your old nature and somehow get you identifying with that over your new nature. Are you hearing me? So your new nature is that you are a saint. Are you with me? And if we live in that, if we understand that, if we grab a hold of that, it gives you the ability, it gives you the strength to live in that. If we still believe we're sinners, we'll be deceived into not accessing the grace to live as a saint, but we'll try to perform good works in order to merit forgiveness. Someone tells me that I'm a sinner trying to become a saint, then I'll do everything I can to try and earn that. Amen? But if someone tells me I'm a saint that occasionally sins, are you hearing me? There's a difference. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You might think, okay, Andrew, that's a technical term, but no, it's not. If you're a king that occasionally steps out of your kingly realm, to be like a, you know those beautiful cartoons where a king or a princess finds herself as a pauper, amen? They find themselves, you know, it's that story where a king or a prince, they step out of their realm, even though they've got all this title and they live as a peasant. It's kind of not the same, is it? Because and then they get discovered again and they find, and everyone finds out that they're really a prince or a princess. They never really were a pauper. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you know that you're a saint, then you occasionally sin, then that's a different understanding than you thinking you're a sinner trying to become a saint, trying to climb the ladder of God, trying to run around and how do I get to that? What level do I get to get to that? God wants you to know that you are a saint that occasionally sins, as opposed to a sinner trying to become a saint. Are you with me? That's why Paul got annoyed. Whenever he wrote a letter, he would smash it out there to his church, to his believers, and go to all those saints in Corinth, to all those saints in Ephesus, because he's dealing with this lack of self-esteem that we have as believers, because we disconnect ourselves with who we really are. Amen? Are you with me? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a saint. Do you find that hard to say? Who finds that hard to say? I hate it. You know, I've heard this phrase a lot. I've heard it a lot in my time. We are just sinners saved by grace. Can I change that? We were just sinners, but we're saved by grace. Now we're saints. Have you heard that a lot? Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a saint saved by grace out of your sin. You know, you guys say, okay, it's just technical, but you know what? It's in the spirit of a lot of people is that as believers, we're prone to the negative because the enemy's had a field day with us trying to hold you back and get into your mind and hold you out of everything that God's got for you. So I want to prove this. Can I get into the Word of God in a strong way. John chapter 3, verse 7. I don't know why I picked black to highlight my scriptures. It's not good. John chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this is quite messed up. You listen to this. This is going to confuse you, so I need a little bit of time. Can we get into this? Are you with me? Turn to your person and say, I am a saint, not a sinner. Verse 7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What? Are you okay? I'm going to tackle this puppy. Are you with me? So you need some concentration, because this is actually pretty fundamental to who you are. So you got to keep your concentration going. All right? I'll try and keep it lively and animated as much as I can. But this is big. First one, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. A lot of us don't seem to know a lot about our new life as believers, because we are children when it comes to the revelation of who we are in God. And children can be easily deceived, correct? Is that true? Like, I remember some of the earlier stages when my son used to watch ads on children's TV, and he'd say, Dad, I need that, because the TV would tell him that, you know, there's a new Lego Ninjago or something. And then he'd say, Dad, I need that, Dad. And because he heard it, he just wanted it, correct? Who's got kids like that? We've all got kids like that. But they see things, and, you know, that's why we as parents, that's why we have things called stranger danger. Why? Because kids can be easily deceived, correct? So you teach them the basics of not to talk to anyone. Everyone's the enemy outside of someone that they know personally. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how you do it when they're little, because you can't go into all the details and go, look, there's certain men out there and there's certain people out there, and you can't get into all that. So you just go to stranger danger, because kids can be deceived. Amen? And the Word of God is saying, don't be deceived. It says that little children, there's a lot of us that are in the kingdom of God that are in this place, and we need to make sure that we're not deceived. We need to get serious about our faith and understand. That's why I want to get into it. Now, verse 7, it says, little children, let no one deceive you. That he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, very quickly, it's not our doing that makes us righteous, but our being righteous because of Christ. Romans tells us that we are justified by the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? I'm going to go quickly through this part. Do we get that? This makes us do righteousness because the righteousness is in us, is Christ. So you act out of that. That's why you're righteous. Listen to this very quickly. Works do not justify, but the justified man works. Do you get that? You can't earn right standing before God. That's what all righteousness means. You can't earn it. You get it as a gift. You get the righteousness of Christ implanted into you when you become a Christian. And what this is saying is you can't earn it, some ladder to get right standing before God. You get it as a gift. And then when that gift comes into your life, then you start to want to do the right things. Do you get that? So you can't earn it. The justified man works. Verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. This is the part where it gets messy. So John's not saying here that we're born of the devil, because that would be nasty. He says we're born of God. The devil doesn't have creative power. He didn't birth anyone on this earth. Are you hearing me? Even the angels, they didn't come from him. They just turned to him. Are you hearing me? So he's not a creative being. He doesn't have that. But whoever imitates the devil becomes a child of the devil. Do you understand that? So if you live your life imitating the devil, then you become a child of the devil. That's what the Word of God says. Back to verse 8. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. So since the fall of man at the beginning of our world, from the very beginning before our world was created, the devil had already sinned. He was already a deceiver. He was already a sinner. So it happened way before. Are you with me? You still with me? Hang in there. From the beginning. And he'll still go on sinning to the present time. He's the author of sin. He's the prince of this world. And he never ceases to seduce us to sin. That's all he wants to do. He spends 24/7 trying to get you to sin. And he's got little plans and plots and schemes and things. And he's been doing it. He created sin. He knows how it works. He knows everything about it. And he just does what he can to try and get you into it. Do we get that? Still in verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy means to break up and do away with. Bruising, the Word of God says, and crushing the serpent's head, which is Satan, the devil. The phrase works of the devil means sin and all its awful consequences. Christians cannot do what Christ came to destroy. You'll never be able to defeat sin in your life without Christ. Amen? He defeated the penalty of sin over your life to give you eternal life. But as a believer, you will not be able to defeat sin in your life without Christ. Are you with me? You can do it for a season. You can have all these great little programs and things going in your life. But in reality, there was one person that defeated sin and defeated the devil, and that was Christ. And the good thing about you is Christ is in you. So you have that. Are you with me? So if you, that's why there's this whole need of not separating you. That's why we have the grace of God. That's why God is so adamant that you can't be separated from God or feel like you are, even when you are sinning. Because you need God to deal with your sin. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's why God set it up that way. It's why grace has nothing to do with anything you do. Your grace still gives you that right standing. Even if you're in sin, you still got that right standing because you need God to get through your sin. Are you with me? Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Okay, this is the one. So I want to explain and break it down. Whoever has been born of God means literally everyone that is begotten of God, in other words, saved. To be born of God is to be inwardly renewed by the power of the Spirit of God. Renewing by grace is an abiding principle. It's not a one-time thing. It keeps on going. The grace of God keeps on renewing us. Are you with me? Because we sin, right? Even though you got saved once, because you sin, the grace of God keeps operating over your life to give you that right standing. Are you with me? Because unless you got saved and never sinned again, is there anyone in that room that's done that? No, didn't think so. So listen to this. Being a Christian is not an art or a matter of skill, but a new nature. Are you with me? Being a Christian is not an art. It's not just a skill, it's a new nature. This higher nature as one born of God, listen to this, does not sin. Wow. So that's what that verse says. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. It's the Christ nature in you that does not sin. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's the Christ nature, that seed of God that gets planted into you, that this whole new nature that you have that does not sin. We sin, but this new nature doesn't. Are you with me? That's why the Word of God says we're going to attach ourselves and belong to that new nature and make that nature our own, because that nature will not sin. Are you hearing me? Are you confused? Who's confused? No one. See, the phrase seed means the living word of God made by the Holy Spirit, the seed in us of a new life. It's our new nature. And it's the continual means of our sanctification. It means making us more Christ-like. That new nature, you have a nature of Christ, and that nature of Christ won't sin because it is Christ. Are you hearing me? That nature of Christ that's in you is Christ. It's God. It's God's seed. It's from the kingdom of heaven. And every time you point your life and wrap yourself around that, it'll naturally take you away from sin because it won't sin. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to tell you that there's a nature inside of you that you need to grab a hold of. There is a nature, there is someone that you are that is not sin. And you need to, if you don't embrace that and grab a hold of that and love on that and put all your life around that, it's not saying because a man was once for all born of God, he never afterwards can sin. But because he is born of God, the seed abiding now in him cannot sin because it's Christ. Are you with me? Our new nature, which we were created into at salvation, which is born of God, is God's seed, and it cannot sin. There is a nature inside of you that stands and fights and naturally draws you away from sin. Are you with me? And I think as believers that we don't grab a hold of that. We're messed up thinking that we are the old nature. And so we actually give faith to sin in our lives, right? Instead of grabbing a hold of this nature that's in us, because you have Christ in you. Are you trying to tell me that Christ sins? Right? Come on, fight back at me. Who believes in this place that Christ sins? Who have you got inside of you? Yeah. Have you answered your questions? And what God is looking at is Christ in you. And what he wants you to look at is Christ in you, because that's your new nature. He's saying, get a hold of it. And that's what Paul's saying. You're saints. You're saints. You're saints. That's why we have this term. A saint is some amazingly perfect, bigger than normal human being. And there's churches that wrap people into saints because they've done miracles, but in actual fact, God's saying the only reason you're a saint is because of Christ in you. Are you hearing me? And so you want to attach yourself to that saint side of you, then attach yourself to Christ in you, because that's your real nature. That's who you really are right now. I can see it getting through. Am I getting through? I mean, because this is important. A new nature which we were created into at salvation, which is born of God, is God's seed and cannot sin. I love it. I've got the seed of God in me. That's why you're a child of God. It's not just some term thrown away. It's some amazing, amazing. Sin is ever active, but no longer reigns, because we have a new nature that comes from the seed of God, which is Christ. You are not bad to the core or bad to the bone. Because it's a song, in case you didn't know, for the anchor crowd. Dun, 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 bad to the bone. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, don't. Sorry. Everyone's shaking their heads. Why? I thought it was quite good. You're not bad to the core. You're not bad to the bone. Because the very seed inside of you, the very core of you, is Jesus Christ and that nature. So you're actually good. The core of you is beautiful. The core of you is amazing. The core of you can direct you and naturally take you into amazing things. The normal direction of a believer's energy because of our new nature is against sin. Did you know that? See, when you grab the Word of God, which is Christ, and connect it with the Spirit of Christ in you, which is Christ, because that's how they feed off each other. Amen? They connect. And you build that nature, and then naturally you'll start to turn away from sin. Are you hearing me? Naturally. You still have to make some decisions, but it'll be a lot easier. There's a light in the mind which shows us evil and sin. That's our nature. There's a bias upon our hearts which disposes us to loathe and hate sin. That's our nature, our true nature. There is a spiritual principle that opposes sinful acts. That's our spiritual nature. That's who we really are. And there is repentance for sin, if committed, which is an action of exposing our sin, which with the help of Christ and walking away from our sin and heading towards God's promise. That's what repentance is. The children of God and the children of the devil have distinct characters. If you're a child of God in this place, then you have the seed of Christ in your place. You have a nature that you need to allow to expose in your life. You find someone out there that just is away from God, that they have a nature, and that nature predisposes them to sin. Are you with me? If we acknowledge our new nature and the new person that we are, which cannot sin, we will not live as before we were born of God and others who aren't born of God. This kingdom we live in is about faith. Are you with me? It's about believing. And that's why some of you are messing with it, because we've been so told that everything we do is to do with what we do, right? But I'm kind of say to you that a lot of what you do has got to do with what you believe. Amen? Come on. You believed Christ was your personal Lord and Savior, and what happened? You became a Christian. Amen? Start with you believing that, because you can stand up. I can come to an altar call in church and not believe what I'm doing, and I can stand there. I could have walked up the back, stood in front of here, heard the thing, and it could be gone. And yeah, I prayed the prayer. Well, yeah, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. Look at me. And then walk away. I did it all, but nothing changed. I didn't believe it. Or I could be that person that got up here. I could be that person that sat in the seat right there, didn't even come up to the altar call, and stood there at the altar call and just opened my life and said, Jesus, I believe. Come in and save me, and I'll be transformed. Amen? Your believing has got a lot to do with your doing. And that's what I'm messing with at the moment, because you've been believing you're a sinner, and I want you to believe that you're a saint. Amen? Are you still with me? Okay, we're going to land this sucker. I don't think we're going to land this sucker. I've got 3 minutes. I don't think I can. So I might have to bring this back. Here you go. Can I have 5 more minutes or not? Okay, very quickly. If we are Christians, it's not our nature to do wrong. Our nature is divine. We can't refer to ourselves as our old nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. It's not just some spiritual thing. Your whole nature, your new creation, which is not just spiritual, it's physical. You have a new nature. Are you hearing me? It's real. It's a new nature. Peter says that we are partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are you with me? So we can release more of this divine nature that come through the promises of God, getting a hold of the promises of God. Our divine nature is the makeup of who we are. And it's made up of promises in the Word of God. If you want to know a bit about this new person that you are, Read the Word of God because your nature is in there. Are you hearing me? When you read a story about a man or a woman of faith, that is coming out of the nature of God, and that's the same nature that you have. Are you with me? When someone stands against physical enemies, when someone stands against all sorts of things in their life and they grab a hold of God, that is the same nature that you have. Are you with me? Don't read it as someone that's completely separate to you and someone living an amazingly holy life, not to do. Just get a hold of the fact that you have the same nature inside of you. And I want to finish with this. So if we believe that we're still sinners, we dilute the power of the blood and spend our days trying to be good, we become deceived. See, the children of Israel, I'm going to end with this. The children of Israel, they were a physical representation of what we are in the spiritual. Thank you. Children of Israel were saved out of Egypt, amen? We know the story. Pharaoh tried to hold them, they saved them out of Egypt. And the whole, this millions of people, something like 3 million they say, and they come to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was open, and they came across, and they were saved out of destruction. And they were so excited. But then, when they got to the other side, they were told that there was a promised land for them. Amen? They were told there was a promised land, that God was. But the first thing they started to do is to doubt the man of God, which is Moses. They doubted the God that was over Moses. They doubted that that was God's word. And they started to think of themselves differently. Are you hearing me? They got themselves deceived. So then they spent the next 40 years, which I've heard historians say that the actual journey would only have taken maybe months. Okay? Months. There's that many people, but if they actually went in a straight line to the promised land, they would have got there in months. Yet they spent 40 years going around circles, in a desert. Why? Because they didn't believe who they were, and they didn't believe what God said that they were. Amen? But the reality is their promised land was over the Jordan, and on there was the promise that God had for them. And I just think there's a lot of believers who don't know who they really are. You've been saved, but you kind of got yourself trapped in the wilderness and you're wandering around going, I'm a sinner, man. I'm just, because the devil's just telling you what you are and he was telling you all the lies and you're going around circles, and the fact is there's a promise for you. There's a whole promise in God. There's what so much that God wants to do with your life and who you are. There's so much. And you need to get yourself into a place where you believe that you are a saint and live out of that revelation. God knows you sin, and God wants to deal with that sin with you. Are you with me? He knows that. That doesn't count you out. But don't become your sin. Amen? Don't call yourself your sin. Call yourself a saint that's dealing with your sin. Live out of that revelation that you have the perfection of Christ in you. And that nature that can't sin, naturally draws you away from sin, naturally exposes sin, and repels you from sin. That's who you really are, and that's inside every one of you that's in this room that's a believer. Amen? So when you read your Bible, say, God, expose this nature. God, as I read your word, expose who I really am. I know I'm a child of God. I know that I'm a son and daughter of the King. I know that you're in me. Expose your nature, God. God, I pray that today, that through your word, that you would allow my real nature to take my day and help me do what I'm doing. Amen? Do you know if you wake up in the morning and just connect with your real nature in Christ, it's a little bit harder to do the wrong thing? Have you ever noticed that? Couples, if you're going out on a date, grab hands. Just pray. Say, God bless us. Use us today. God, we thank you that this is such a blessing and an honor to be. It's a lot harder to do the wrong thing as a couple when you do that. Just try it. Amen? Because naturally you've connected yourself with your new nature, and naturally that makes it harder. Are you with me? Jesus loves you. He's on your side, and he calls you a saint. Why don't we stand to our feet? Did I get too technical? Are you okay? If you need more detail, just listen to it again. Let it go do the podcast thing and listen to the detail. Just really, 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 really wanting to make sure that you know who you are. I'm tired of believers. I don't want to see people wandering around in the wilderness. Amen? It's time we went for some promise. Amen? Very quickly, just close your eyes for a moment, just for privacy. Just for privacy. There's anyone